I went that way. There's no Chick-fil-A. So I went this way. I said, hey, what the heck? Amen. I'm just excited to be here. I'll respect your time. But before I begin, I think it's important you understand who's talking to you. My name is Wilson Morales. I'm the youngest of 13. One sister and 12 brothers. And there was TV back then. My mom and dad just had it going, you know. People say there was no TV. Oh, there was plenty of TV, but they don't care. You know, they were happy living in the city, and I'm the last one. And I grew up in the church, and I didn't understand what the church was. All I knew was that it was a place of rules. It was a place of regulations. It was a place of a God who apparently loved me depending on how I behaved. And that kind of theology is incorrect. So I want to start by telling you my personal anchor. There's nothing you can do to make God love you less. Period. I don't care how ugly you think you are. I don't care how bad you think you are. There's nothing you can do to make God love you less. And there's another side to that. There's nothing you can do to make God love you more. So you don't have to kiss up to heaven. So what does that mean? If God loves you just the way you are, then the question is, can you surrender to that? Your life has changed depending on how you think and what you believe. You see, most of us, believe it or not, we do have a mission statement. We just don't know it. Most of us have a philosophy of life. We just don't know it, that it's written. It's written here and it's written here, and we act it out daily. So today I'm about to challenge you. I think we're on principle 5, correct? I like your mic. I feel good. I can't have a mic. I just get nervous. It's like part Italian. You know, if you take away my hands, I can't talk. Anybody want to talk? Anybody have family like that? They talk with their hands. How are you? Don't you dare give me that. Okay, this will calm me down. Hello, everybody. No, I don't need this. You just want to play with that little iPad with all your little controls. Mark, he's showing off his digital stuff. I can control you. You know, I don't need this. But thank you. Thank you for the Barney microphone. My father was a Black Beret, and a Black Beret is totally different from the Green Beret. A Black Beret is from the U.S. Army. Anybody who knows the history of the Black Berets, they were the Spanish-speaking troops from Puerto Rico who fought in World War II. And because they did not speak English, they had a sergeant who was bilingual. And these guys were crazy. They were Black Berets, and they did some crazy missions. And I never knew my father was a Black Beret till he died. He never talked about it. He never bragged about it. He never said big stories about it. He just kept quiet. He never talked about World War II. One thing I liked about my dad, and it has a lot to do with what I'm going to share with you today. My dad was a nasty swimmer. The man could swim. And I just couldn't stand him because he can get in the water and be there hours, out deep. And all you see is his head, like a turtle. That's all you saw. And I would go and swim a little bit and get tired. I'd do the doggy style, you know, just so I could stay. Then I would go under and look at what he was doing, and he was very relaxed with his hands just doing this. That's all he would do. Just this. I used to try it and drown. Oh, my gosh. And then one time there was a guy drowning. It was Orchard Beach in New York City, a very crazy beach. And my father was there. My father just watched as the guy went down and back up again. Down and back up again. Third time he didn't come up, then my dad jumped under and pulled him out. I was young and I asked him, what the heck? He almost died. And my dad said, well, no, I wasn't going to let him die. I know what I'm doing. I said, what do you mean? I was all, you know, argumentative. He said, if I would have gone to him at his full strength, he would have pulled us both down and we both would have drowned. There was one of two things that was going to happen in that water. He was going to fight till he could no longer fight, and that's what happened. He got tired. He got tired of fighting. Or he could have voluntarily surrendered to the water. He would have floated. And then he looked at me and he said, son, everything you need to float in the water is there. The problem isn't the water. The problem is you. You see, when you surrender to the water and relax, your body naturally just comes up. It doesn't matter what size you are. You can be skinny. You can be small. You can be big. So that stuck with me. That stuck with me because many of us are resisting the very water that can give us life to raise us up again. So I'm coming today to give you the challenge of your life, and then I'm going to get out of here and finish my Chick-fil-A. Amen? I want to give you a big challenge, and it's simple. It's principle number 5. Voluntarily submit to every challenge, change, that God wants to make in my life and humbly ask Him to remove my character defects. And another word for submit is surrender. When you surrender, you are no longer in charge. When you surrender, you are no longer the captain of your boat. You have stopped in resisting. Are you aware that we humans naturally resist? We resist change. We resist truth. Right as in front of our face, we resist things. Why? It's in our nature. We get uncomfortable because change can be difficult. Change may mean you maybe have believed a lie too long, and now you must surrender that lie. A man by the name of King David in the book of Psalms, he says in Psalm 119, you got to read it. Read the whole Psalm. I'm not going to tell you where it's at. I was about to say it, but then you'll stop. It's a small Psalm. It only has 176 verses. It'll take you like a whole week to finish it. But somewhere about verse 17 through 30, you know what he says? He says, God, keep me from believing my own lies. And may your word deliver me with truth. So I come to challenge some of you today. I come to challenge some of you to voluntarily surrender yourself. Not to the water, but I love it because the Spirit of God in the Bible is known as the water of God. It's the flow of the Spirit is considered the flow of water. And it's a play with words that the Gospel of John uses in John chapter 4, where it talks about rivers of living water and how God can satisfy the thirst with His water. And so what better thing to happen to your life if you just gave it all to Him? I'm going to show you how to do it. It's called victory. How many of you would like victory? I never heard anybody go, nope! I want to be a loser. I never heard that. You ever hear anybody look at you? You ever go to preschoolers and you look at, and what do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be a loser. Anybody ever seen that? Of course not. I've never seen one kid grow up and say, I want to be a convict. I want to be in jail. I want to hate my parents. I want to hate the world. I want to hate myself. You ever seen the kid say that? What happened? Somewhere along life, the ugliness of the world we live in has caused them to redefine themselves and the world around them. And there's only one way to redefine that world once again. You have to deconstruct that world. And how do you do that? You identify the lie that's in it. And the only way to start doing this by voluntarily submit to God. Anybody have a Bible? Are you going to put the verses up there for me? Can you? No? Yes? Yes? No? Oh, I'm going to make you go up that long set of stairs. Man, by the time I get up there, I'll be, oh, he's going to run. He's running. Uh-oh, he's good. Dun, 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 dun. There he just passed out. He made it halfway, folks. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. And if you have a piece of paper with you or a pen, write down the word victory. And I'm going to give you, for each letter, I'm going to give you a verse and just a small statement. And the first one for V is voluntarily submit. In other words, freely surrender to the water. I'll never forget when my father started teaching me his ropes. He said, come on. I was horrified. He took me out. I was a young kid. He took me out 4 feet. I'm 4'5", so I was doing this. And he looked at me. He smiled. He said, just keep your chin up. Don't ever bring your chin down. Keep your chin up. Stop looking down on life. Stop looking down on yourself. Stop looking down on yourself because of your mistakes. Anybody here not ever make a mistake? Oh, look around you. Not one hand went up. Anybody here ever not screw up? Oh, cool. Cool. Everybody is good. We're imperfect ones. Thank you, God. So one of the things you learn is you look up why. Because eventually when you voluntarily submit, you are choosing to surrender. And I'm going to tell you right now, that is not easy. You have that verse up there for me? Oh, you're good. What is that? Oh, NASB, I love you. Where are you? Hey, cool. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be... Can you underline any of that? Can you do that? No? Yes? Underline that for me. Transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is and that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Listen, when you start voluntarily submitting to God and losing yourself in Him, you ready for this? Your world changes. You don't have to change. He'll change you. See, the problem I have with churches many times, and I'm a pastor, so I can say this. We give people the litmus test for they can examine themselves to see if they're changing. No, I just tell people this. For those of you from ECC, you know this. Fall in love with the Lord. Draw close to the Lord. Lose yourself in Christ. And you'll find yourself. It's amazing. Your life will change. Your life will never be the same again. Yeah, but what I do in my struggles, what I do in my battles, that's why you're drowning. Yeah, I didn't get that one, did you? I can do this. Really? Yeah, I don't need God. I got, watch this. Oh, really? Sometimes you just got to let go and say, God, excuse my non-Christian terminology, this sucks. I'm going to let go. The moment you stop resisting and you start going, oh, snap, what just happened? You're getting a hint of the power of an ocean that is much greater than you. Something so simple an ant could swim in it, and something so deep an elephant can jump in the same one and have a good time. That's how deep God is. What is this verse teaching us? There's only one way for you to understand surrender, and that is your mind has to be transformed. Anybody here have stinking thinking? Anyone wonder what that is, stinking thinking? I got to watch my time. I'll see. You just went like this. That means you got 15 minutes. Just kidding, just kidding. Pat is like, I'm using nothing, man. You can. Stinking thinking is thinking that you have actually accepted as truth. I suck. I'm never going to do this. I've tried this so many times. I will never go at this again. You don't know how, you have no idea all my life I've been battling. Yeah, you have. Surrender.
Peace. The volunteer surrender. Some of you look at the person next to you and go,
Okay, two fingers, please. Okay? Why? That's the only secret to total success in a walk with Christ. Voluntarily submit. And when you do that, guess what happens? Wow. If you change, okay, you ready? I'm going to say this one time, so if you need to get it now. Okay, you ready? Write this down. You ready? If you change your thinking, you will change your attitude. You change your attitude, you change your behavior. You change your behavior, you change your environment and your friendships. You change your environment and your friendships, you just finished changing your destiny. It all starts with a thought. It all starts with you saying, God! I know some of you want to hear the Lord say, yea, our heavenly Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Sometimes you got to look up to heaven and go, God, this sucks. I am so freaking tired of the same. You ever heard of a serial killer? I'm a serial offender. And I try so much and I find myself in this vicious circle. Well, stop. You're still swimming. Surrender. Volunteer. You ready? You ready for the line? This means yes. This means no. This means I abstain from any voting here. It's simple. I will no longer be in charge to try to control the outcome of things around me. I don't have that control. The only person I can control and the only words I can control, the only thoughts I can control is me. So I choose to drown in His presence. That's all. Now, preacher, if you said there's nothing I can do to make Him love me less, and there's nothing I can do to make Him love me more, then if He just loves me just the way I am, why the heck am I so frustrated? Because you have the wrong concept in your thinking. And so you need your thinking transformed. That's pretty cool. This will work. And it's free. Not even Walmart had that special, man. Man, the V is critical. I know I got to go through all the letters, but I want to say something about V. Can we talk heart to heart a minute? Okay, when I sit down, it gets dangerous. You ready? I'm going to sit down. Normally when I sit down, my boys know a whooping's coming. Let me sit down.
I loved you mucho.
We don't want to volunteer. We want God to take it from us. Then if God takes it, it wasn't you submitting to a change. It was a bully bigger than you taking it from you. That don't work long term. Volunteer. V. Volunteer. What does that mean? It's an act of will. Are you aware that all temptations are just that, temptations? The moment you gave in to the temptation, it was an act of the will. And then the guilt comes, and the dirtiness comes, and the filthiness, and the shame, and this. Why did I do this again? Well, because at the moment of temptation, rather than surrender voluntarily, you try to resist, you try to do your own thing, and guess what you ended up doing is the monster got stronger than you and overcame you. Because temptation will always overpower you when you resist. So instead of resisting, what do? You surrender to God. And when you surrender to God, something in you dies. The rebellion in you dies. Anybody ever talk to a dead person? Ever insult a dead person? Ever tell a dead person, dude, you look so freaking ugly, you is ugly. Do they curse at you? Do they slap you? Do they get back at you? Huh? You ever look at a dead person, your teeth are so yellow, I don't believe it ain't butter. What's wrong with you? And you smack, what do they say? Do they say anything back to you? No, why? They're dead. When you surrender fully to Christ, you die in Christ. Your passions die. Your battle begins to die. And it's simply amazing, but it has to be. We ain't taking it. God don't take stuff from us. We surrender it to Him. Is your battle mental? Surrender your mind to Him. Is your battle repetitious? Surrender your repeat battle to Him. Is it a hang-up that you can't get rid of? Then don't get rid of it. Package it and shelve it. Never go back to it again. You see, to voluntarily submit, I think that's the toughest thing any human being could do. Anybody here ever got into an exercise program? Anybody here? Let me reword that. Anybody here attempted a exercise program? Amen. You got the charts, you got the books, you paid the fees, you joined the gym, and something happened that week. We'll start in 7 days. And that week something else happens, we'll start next year. But I got the membership and I'll... Really? Well, what happened was you gave the front that you volunteered, but in reality you went back to your ways. That's all. When you voluntarily submit to God, when you voluntarily surrender, here is the secret to it. You ready? You release yourself. That's hard. But it's not impossible. And it's amazing. And you know how you start? Forget about the destiny down here. Forget about the relationships around you. Oh, I got to fix all these relationships. You got to fix nothing. Leave them alone. Back away. I got to change my behavior. No. Forget that. Oh, my attitude sucks. Yeah, I know. We all know that, but we don't tell you, but we know. Right here. All right, let me jump to I. Ready? Everybody go, I. Well, let me change that. Ready? Everybody go, I. Identify our character defects. See, here, no one judges you. Here, you judge yourself. Ready? Maybe if I stop thinking this way, I will feel better. Maybe if I stop being so negative, I would probably be a more happier person. Maybe if I were more friendly, I would have more friends. Maybe if instead of walking in and getting a drink to calm myself down, I go jogging instead and find somebody who's a health fanatic, maybe my life could start changing. But what is it about me? Somebody look up for me. You got the verse for me? Anybody? Oh, you're up there. I'm looking at you here. Hey. Are you catching your breath there, brother? You okay? Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9. And if you don't have these, write them down. You could always look for them later. And on your own, let me tell you what helps in moments like this. Not everything I say will apply to you. The moment something does, write it down. I always tell people, I teach in different colleges, and I always tell my students, don't write everything I say down because none of it applies to you. Only that which is totally practical for your life. When you go, ah! Anybody ever have an aha moment? You look, you go, oh! I cannot do that. Anybody? Nobody? Really? Yes, you got to try it. Anybody use Chick-fil-A sauce on their fries? Ha-ha! That's an aha moment, you know? My boy's like, that's nasty. I got my boy JD's just nasty. That's nasty. I don't like it. Oh, he likes the chicken nuggets and fries. My boy has been to every international restaurant out there. We went to Italian, chicken nuggets and fries. We went Chinese, chicken nuggets and fries. We went Spaniard, chicken nuggets and fries. Mexican, chicken nuggets and fries. He has chicken nuggets and fries from all over the world. We went to Chick-fil-A and I said, you got to dip the fries in that holy anointed sauce. And he goes, Dad, that's nasty. It looks like vomit. Oh, vomit tastes good. So he went, wow. Aha. Some of you got to find that moment, that mix of fries and dipping sauce with your behavior that provokes change. I can't do it for you. See, I'm going to leave here in a bit and I'll go on home and go play with my dog. You got to talk about you in here. The mind of man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. What does that mean? That means sometimes you can come up with all the plans and things about yourself you want, but you need to start asking yourself this one question. God, what is it about me that I don't see that you see? Now, you're going to get uncomfortable with this statement. Forgive me for making you uncomfortable. I'm like a doctor who's... It's going to hurt you, not me, but it's going to hurt. You ready? I don't care what everyone else wants me to be to them. I must be all that God wants me to be to him. Because I can never satisfy everybody's needs. I will never meet everyone's expectations. Some people like Chick-fil-A, some people like McDonald's, some people like Burger King, some people like Wendy's. I like food. I don't care where it comes from. But some people like that. So what does that mean to you? You got to ask yourself that one question. What is it about me that I know? Anybody here not know when they screw up? Who doesn't know? Hello? Denial is not the river up in Egypt. Some people live in denial. In denial. Okay, he'll get that later. Denial. Denial. I get it. Sometimes we live in denial. Sometimes the problem is simple. You have a crappy attitude, and that's why you're where you're at. Change the attitude. Find something sweet to think about. Put a smile on your face, even though you don't want to smile. It's amazing. So let me just say this about your thoughts. You ready? How much time do I got? Oh, I'm good. I got about 7 minutes. Is that correct? Seven? See? Seven? Okay. 10? Is that, you went like this. I mean, 10? Or are you going to surrender? Oh, no. All right. You ready? When you start learning to identify and asking God to identify for you the character defects, don't get angry at what comes up. Write it down. Because now you have some goals. Now you can tell God, God, I see this in me. I'm impatient. God, I'm nasty. God, I'm unforgiving. God, I'm bitter. God, I get high because that's how I cope with my stress. Well, stop. Write it down. You see, once you identify, you know where your target is at. See in victory. See. If you could put up 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Change your mind. Everybody go like this. You ready? Gently, please. Gently. Do it till you hear something. You hear something? Okay, some of you are like, Steve, come on, let me see you knock on your head, Steve, and show us the way. Come on, ready? Go like this. Ready? Go. That was set up. Well, you know what you're doing? Sometimes you got to knock on your own head, and when you hear it, you got to say to yourself, come in. Yeah, because we let everybody else in our heads. We let everybody else's opinion in our heads. We let our past in our heads. We let our parents in our heads. We let some relative who screwed our life up by doing things to us. We let a horrible experience in the field affect our brain. We let everybody else in here except God and ourselves. And everybody has an opinion. And everything you do is to satisfy what he said, what she said, what he... And sometimes you got to stop and say, ah! Who the heck is driving this car? No one controls your thoughts but you, period.
Yeah, but I have these uncontrollable thoughts.
We all do, we just don't say it. Don't look at me like that.
Can I get an amen in the house? Some of you are like, who told them that?
Oh, let me stop the commercial, but it's real good. I recommend it highly. They say it's for kids, but those of us who practice therapy, those who do therapy and counseling, it's a great movie. Just the concept behind it can heal you from a lot of pain. Go see Inside Out by Pixar. Did you see it? All right, hallelujah, I'm having a Pixar moment. Thank you, God. Thank you. Okay, you got to see it, and I'll tell you why. It's about, okay, I'll give you the front line, it's easy. It's about what goes on the head of a child. And you see when the kid is angry with Mr. Angry, he's the one in control. You see this little guy come in and he's angry. Okay, now we're going to show what we got to our parents. And Mr. Angry takes over the steering wheel. And whenever she feels guilty about something she did wrong, Mrs. Guilt comes in and sits down on the steering wheel. And it's amazing how the little people control how they think. And when you go through trauma, when you go through a dark moment, that little individual goes and hides. And he comes back to bite you as an adult. So you got to learn how to, who's in there? You know how many people I deal with? That the scared kid finally came out. And they said, F this world, F everything, I can't take it no more. And I say, stop. Welcome to change. He's out. Now let's talk with him. Don't let him hide. Change is doable. Anybody seen the old-fashioned watches? The minute hand, the hour hand, and the second hand. Some of you are like the second hand. You can see it moving. They change like this. They're like, Dad, you see that guy? He just got here. Look how good he's doing. What an amazing rig. You know, the people, they're those fast changers. Anybody know what I'm talking about? That's the guy who joins the gym or the girl who joins the gym, and within 2 weeks, they come out walking all muscular. You're like, how the heck? I've been coming here 4 years, and all I did was gain 9 pounds. That's how they are. They're like the second-hand watch. Anybody, you know, I've seen them as a pastor. I've seen them in church. They get saved. And they just get hungry for God, and they grow, and they go beyond people who've been in church all their lives. Why? They're like the second-hand. They're fast. Not everybody's a second-hand. Some people are like the minute-hand. If you stare long enough, you'll see the change. You just got to stare. Sometimes my wife and I are talking. I'm going to her, I wonder if I should get a different job. I wonder if they're changing. Because some people do. Yes, look, we changed. Instead of 19 cuss words, he has said 17. We're getting there. And then the majority of the people are the hour hand. No matter how hard you stare, you'll never see change. But it is moving. Slowly. So don't define change by speed and the rapidness of that change. Don't become impatient with yourself. My time is up. Can I get 5 minutes? Is that okay, sir? Can I get five people? Just five from your hands. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25. There. Okay, good. I got 4 more hours and it's time to change your mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, if you don't have a walk with God, I can't offer you much. You're a spectator. But if you do have a walk with Christ, no matter how weak you are, no matter how many times you failed, that doesn't matter. What matters is, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Some of us need to start thinking new thoughts. Some of us need to get out of, if you have an iPhone, take out your iPhone, an Android, take out your Android. If you have a rotary dial, this don't work for you, baby. I'm sorry, get a piece of paper. But you need to start writing some new thoughts for you to start with. Ready? The first 5 minutes of your day, and the last 5 minutes of your day. 10 minutes. It is proven fact. Those are the most important 10 minutes of your life. Why? The first 5 minutes of your day, depending on how you get up and you start talking to yourself, oh, this sucks. Oh, I'm gonna go to work. Oh, I can't stand life. Oh, my breath stinks. Oh my gosh, what did I eat? Oh my God, can you smell that out? The moment you start, those first 5 minutes set the attitude for the day. You didn't know that, did you? You know how many people I know? I used to be in youth camp. Guys would get up, oh man, freaking gotta get us over this time. I don't want no breakfast. It stinks like bacon. I hate bacon. And I'm looking at them, you fool. I'll eat all the bacon for free. You have to... I ain't Jew. I like pork. I'll eat pork. I ain't got no kosher eating. I'll take the bacon. I'll take the sausage. I'll take whatever comes wrapped in the pig. I'll eat it. Can I get an amen in the house? I'll take my cornflakes and wrap them in bacon. I don't care, man. Bacon, cornflakes, and milk. I don't. And you know what's amazing? Those very same people, the rest of the day, they're nasty, they're shabby. And you look at them, you're like, I don't want to be around this guy. This guy's already started nasty. First 5 minutes, you know what I do when I get up? As soon as I get out of my bed, thank you, God. I sure could use 5 more minutes, God, but thank you anyway. I really don't want to get out of my bed this morning, but thank you that I can get up. I know so many people I got to go see at the hospital today who are paralyzed and will never leave that bed till they see the grave. Thank you.
That's pretty cool.
First 5 minutes. Last 5 minutes before you go to bed, stop washing trash. Stop going to bed angry at you. I'm so mad I'm going to bed now! Do you know how many people I got to go visit because all hell broke loose in the middle of the night and they got up arguing and a fight broke up and I got to go calm somebody down? So what do you do at night? Those last 5 minutes, I begin telling my wife, you're so beautiful. I like you. I tell my boys, you make me proud to be a father. You have a good night. I go to everybody. I even go to my German Shepherd. And you the dog. You my dog. I'm serious. And he looked at me. I said, don't overdo it. Just go lay down. Why? I know my last 5 minutes will set my attitude as I lay down to rest. I forget Facebook. I don't touch Facebook. I don't go near it before I go to bed. Because people are turning Facebook to ugly book. Put on some soft music. I lay down, I close my eyes, and I tell the Lord, thank you for another day. I can't wait to get up and be a threat to the devil again. 10 minutes, I can change your life. I must speed it up here quick. Ready? Write this down. T, turn your character defects over to God. Write this verse down, James chapter 4. Verse 10. If you could put it up there, just put them up there as I go. James chapter 4, verse 10. Turn your defects to God. What does it mean? Get closer to God, and God will get closer to you. That's it. Hang out with God, and God will hang out with you. Yeah, but I'm afraid. That's your problem. Fear does nothing good for any relationship. It's a biblical principle in the book of James. Draw close to God, and God will draw close to you. That's just... I don't know how to do that. Just come to church, hang out with healthy people, hang out with people who love the Lord. Yeah, but I feel crummy. I don't care how you feel. We all feel crummy every once in a while. Anybody here ever wake up in a bad mood and not know why? You better all raise your hand if you're human. I mean, so guess what I do when I wake up in a bad mood? I already know I'm in a bad mood. The first thing I do is bacon. I like, bacon has gifts in it, people. Notice how I made you laugh just using bacon. Notice how quick I changed your attitude. Notice how I made you smile. Notice how you came in here and all of a sudden you had a change of ways. And some of you came in here like this, praise the Lord. Well, Jonathan is thinking, now you're, you're so funny. I just changed your attitude. I just shifted you. I just did something to you to show you. If I can do it in less than 23 minutes in your presence, imagine what would happen with you and God hanging out. Imagine what would happen with your life if you got closer and closer to God, an inch at a time till you got a little better. And as you drew an inch, he drew an inch. And oh my gosh, you're en route for a collision course. Amen. All right, let me go. Ready? Oh, you got the verse up there. You're good. Thank you, sir. Oh, in victory. This is the critical one. One day at a time. I learned this line with Mark. You didn't get here overnight. You ain't going to leave here overnight. Period. Just one day at a time. Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. One day at a time. What does that mean? Give yourself a one day goal. Well, I have a life goal. Stop. One day at a time. Well, I got this week. I got an annual goal. When you get up in the morning, what goal did you set for today? Anybody who ever studied entrepreneurship, anybody who ever studied multimillionaires, anybody who ever studied, anybody who was successful, every night before they go to bed, they sit and they take a piece of paper and they set their goals for the next day. Nothing outrageous, just reachable goals. So by the other next day, when they take the piece of paper back out, they'll look at it and say, check, 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 check. I did it. Let's go to bed and praise God. I had a great day. Now let's set tomorrow's goals. One day at a time. Okay.
Chick-fil-A is calling.
R. Stop it. Recovery is a process. What does that mean? For everyone, it's different. Stop comparing yourself to others. You need to compare yourself to yourself. Am I doing better than I was yesterday? Yeah, a little bit. That's all I care about. Did the hour hand move just a little bit? I couldn't see it. Did it move? It's moving. And keep on moving. Eventually, a whole hour will go by. It'll go from 3 to 4. And then from 4 to 5. 5 to 6. 6 to 7. And number, the last one, why. I'm sorry, our recovery is a process. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. And the last one for victory. And I'm done. I'm sorry for taking those extra 5 minutes. No, I'm not. I just... I'll take 15 more if you give them to me, man. I just love this. I love the power of the gospel. If you're visiting here, let me tell you something. The gospel has power to change you. If it doesn't, then you're wasting your time. There's something amazing about the gospel. When you mix it with faith and you believe it, I don't care the little bit of changes you get. It's simply awesome. Man, you got to volunteer. Give it up. Surrender. And you'll float. And to float is fascinating. Okay, let me stop. Why in victory? V is for voluntarily submit. The I is for identify your character defects. The C is to change your mind. The T is turn over your character defects to God. The O is for one day at a time. The R is recovery is a process. But the last one is my favorite. Why? You must choose to change. James chapter 4, verse 6, 7, and 8. And with this I close, and I'm done. James chapter 4, verse 6, 7, and 8. You must choose to change. You know what that means? At some point today, at some point tonight, at some point in your car, at some point when you take a shower, at some point when you look in the mirror and you see the man in the mirror, the woman in the mirror, you're going to have to look at it and say, okay, what's changing? Period. Yeah, but I don't know if I can. I didn't ask you if you could. You must make that change. You must say, I'm going to do this. You ready for this? I'd rather go to the grave where people say, he tried and failed, but he tried. Then do nothing and succeed at nothing. All right, let me close. I'm going to close in prayer. That's a good verse, by the way. Leave it up there. That's one of my favorite verses. Because the only thing you should be resisting is the devil. You shouldn't be resisting God. You should just let go in God. Just whatever God challenges you to do, just do it. But it all starts in one place. And this is the biggest challenge for you. My biggest challenge as a pastor on Sunday morning, my biggest challenge as a pastor here tonight, my biggest challenge is to win the war in your mind. Because you see, for me, victory is only 18 inches away. What does that mean? If I could win it here, 18 inches to here, I got you. But see, here's where people lock up. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. Then, okay, stay where you're at. Who wants to stay where they're at? Even a successful person will tell you, keep on moving, keep on doing, keep on pushing. I don't know where you're at today, but I want you to bow your heads a moment. I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you. And I want you to forget about the world around you, the people around you, anybody around you. And just for a moment, I want you to do me one favor. Take both your hands and place them on your heart. Your heart. No one else's heart. You know why? It's yours. And as I pray, I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to show you what he wants from you, what he wants you to give to him. And the question is, will you voluntarily surrender it? And when I'm done praying, I'll turn it over to Pat and I'll give you guys back into your program. Father, in the name which is above every name, in the name of Jesus, that name which I proclaim all over Southern Maryland, the one that gives true freedom, your Son. Lord, your word says if we abide in your word and we know the truth will set us free. Teach us to hang out where truth is at. Teach us to have a head-on collision with truth. Help us, oh God, see the truth for what it is and then press forward into what you want from us. For everyone that is here that has a hang-up, for everyone here that has a hurt, for everyone here who's lost hope somewhere, Father, I pray in the name of your Son, start the healing process tonight. Let them see tonight that there's nothing they can do to make you love them less. And there's nothing they can do to make you love them more. They got the full package. Wow. I bless each one in that name which is above every name. Jesus Christ. Amen. Love you guys. You have a great night.
He likes to burn out, so...